The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Shine on all of them. Oh, yeah. Climb. You were born to win.
You are born to win.
Don't let them make you colorblind. And not a door. Come on. Hey, look, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I said, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. If you feel me, say, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Again, I said let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Yeah.
Let it shine, let it shine.
Good yawning this morning. Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of September, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And we're going to get right into it and get it started. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I have a brief message about the Employment Incentive Program. Did you know that VAT-registered businesses who are tax compliant are eligible to participate in the government's Employment Incentive Program and can receive up to $400 per week in tax credit for up to 10 new full-time employees? Visit atlas.revenue.gov.bs to apply. Again, that is atlas.revenue.gov.bs to apply. Offer is valid until December the 31st, 2021. And again, this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Well, I want to say good morning to everybody, including Sawyer Boy. Sawyer Boy is back on our sister station, Star FM. And I am so happy that you decided, that the ancestors decided, that God decided that they were going to let your light shine a little bit more. Sawyer Boy, we are so happy to have you back. And we say to all of the people with us in the country, close to us, not near us, who are suffering with COVID, through COVID, suffering along with loved ones who have COVID. Well, with this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine in hopes that it shines on you. And we all going to let our light shine in hopes that it shines on you. And for those who have lost loved ones, we let our light shine in their honor. Is this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I also want to say to any of my callers or texters who felt like in our rigorous or seemingly rigorous debate that I wasn't letting your light shine. It ain't nothing like that. It ain't nothing like that. What I intend to do or what I aim to do is to challenge you and to challenge myself and to encourage more critical discourse. So just because I challenge you don't mean you shouldn't call or you shouldn't keep thinking or you shouldn't stick to what you believe. This is a space for us to talk to each other and to delve into ideas. A good morning. There is so much in the paper today to talk about. We still talk in politics. We still in the first 100 days. We still looking at the rollout of the cabinet, because these things are so important. They're important indicators, and we can learn a lot from them about what to expect over the next 100 days, over the next 5 years. And so to all of my audience members who are telling me that I must give the PLP a break and it's just the first couple of days, you know, I want to say to you, first of all, no, my cable ain't working, so I ain't got nothing to do, and this is what we're going to do. But more importantly, it's our obligation as citizens to do this work. And so every time you think that somebody who is critiquing your party is trying to attack them, remember, complaints are free and consultation costs money. What you do is you listen to the complaints. In fact, you try to encourage people to complain a little bit more so they'll talk a little bit more. But if you are listening with the right intention, you'll realize that all of this is information for you to take back to the party that you wish to defend so vigorously. And I support you in that. It's your job to support your party. So a couple of things I saw in the paper today as we get started in the business section. I think it is of the Tribune. There is an interesting article. It frightened me for a second. It said, utility scale solar found impractical for Nassau. Environmentalists were bluntly told by BPL that utility scale solar solutions for New Providence are impractical because up to 1,800 acres would be required to generate sufficient energy. So I think what that means is it's impractical for BPL to set up a solar station and generate power and sell it back to us. The BPL's Director of Grid Solutions and Support Services told Eric Carey, the Executive Director of the Bahamas National Trust, that solar was not a substitute or alternative for the 85-megawatt Station D power plant. Essentially, as a baseload plant, energy needs to be produced 24/7 and at adequate levels. And in order to achieve the same level of energy output, BPL would need to build a plant that is about 360 megawatts of traffic in order to produce the same amount of energy. So basically what they're saying is it's impractical to replace that generator with a solar power production system, because solar only run, you know, the sun is only out half the day. You need 24/7 production and generation, and the cost of batteries is very expensive. And so I think this is an important article, because in the first 100 days, I'm expecting to hear not just a statement from this new administration about the energy crisis, a statement on the way forward, and a timeline showing us clearly, or giving us a sense of what we could expect in terms of the increase in cost in our bills over the next 12 months, so people could prepare for that. But I think more importantly, you can't replace that particular generator with solar. You can't produce what that generator produces with solar. But can't we have some sort of balance? Now, what I find interesting as well is that in the article, BPL indicates that they are focusing their solar efforts on the Family Islands. And it says, with respect to renewables, BPL's primary focus right now is on the Family Islands, where BPL is able to create higher penetration projects on those islands to keep them in the green and pristine condition that they're in, and develop that as an attractive element to the tourism product. Well, I want you to just develop it as an attractive element to the humans who live there product, right? Like, let's just focus on improving their lives primarily, understanding that it will absolutely and obviously also drive tourism. Let's put the citizen first, not the tourism. That's good to know that the efforts are being directed or diverted towards the Family Island, because a lot of young people are trying to figure out how to get out of Nassau without necessarily leaving the country. A lot of young people want to go to the Family Islands, but don't see that as a viable option given the lack of infrastructure on those islands. So It's great to see that article today in the paper. Because for me, on my first 100 days list, point number three is the energy crisis. I've already seen people indicating that they have seen their bills triple over these summer months. And that's concerning to me. It's also concerning because I haven't seen or heard a statement from BPL as to why this has gone up. And so one of the things I hope we see in this first 100 days is a statement clarifying the way forward with energy and the energy crisis, along with a number of other things. I see I got a caller on the line. Caller, you on the clock.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you?
Fairly well, thank you.
Good, good.
I want to speak directly to your situation mentioned about the solar replacing the current situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would think that it's not palatable for persons to be able to power themselves via solar. I'm talking about individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to assume that as a corporation on mass production, economies of scale, they should be able to do it even more efficiently. I think that will have to be taken with a large grain of salt. Regarding the increases of the utility bills payment month by month,
mm-hmm.
I think over the past few years, it has been manageable in my case, but I noticed that it was increasing even when it was announced that it was being decreased. But I didn't speak to it right there because I do monitor it by keeping a photocopy online in the cloud of my payments month by month.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go as far back as referring back maybe almost 20 years ago when the bills in certain areas was a certain amount.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the meters were changed. And as soon as the meter was changed, I can look at the bill and see the rate doubled. You were using the same kilowatts, but the rates were double.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that need to be done, and generally we need to look out for the public. So I'm not really accepting that report even without reading it because of the basic I'm doing some extrapolation of numbers and realities.
Absolutely. But let me ask you a quick question before you go. Do you think a smaller scale production is viable, like at a community level? Not necessarily constituency level, but at a community level?
Possibly so. Yes, of course. Something has to be done.
All right. Thank you.
And we shouldn't be having two varying rates, so to speak. Not for the public.
I agree.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I think that it's one thing that we should absolutely expect. And the energy crisis has driven the exorbitant prices across the board in this country, all connected. Even the cry for a living wage, the wage would be livable if the cost of energy wasn't so exaggerated. I see we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes. Hi. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
This is Sharon Johnson. I just want to say I would dispute the claim that BTC or BPL made.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you know, I have to see the study. Now, to generate the electricity of 300 megawatts needed for New Providence, you need approximately, in the worst case condition, you need about 3 square miles.
Okay.
Now, the problem is that technology advances is such that you can find that entire 3 square miles on South Beach. And when you put solar over water, your efficiency increases up to 25%. But the problem with that is not just the fact that we have the capacity, it's the fact that there are some steps that has to be taken before you reach there.
Okay.
There's a concept called distributed power generation, and that's basically where electricity is generated near or where it's used. So basically you have to study exactly where the distribution and consumption of energy is on New Providence.
Okay.
Now, before you even get to that, the fact that we consume the level of electricity we have you must then have a study of every single home and business to find out where do you move to reduce consumption before you introduce an equitable capacity, instead of saying, oh, we produce to be using 300 megawatts, so let's go to a 300 megawatts power generation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you move to efficiency, you look at individual homes and solar energy, water heaters, gas water heaters, on-demand water heaters, stoves that change the mm-hmm. gas, and dryers that change the dryer. Just look at each one. So what you do is reduce the consumption on the island. Then you would look at building a smart grid system for energy delivery system. That's done. Then what you also have in part of that distributed power generation system, you will have a system where homeowners don't need to necessarily have a backup battery now. They can use the actual grid as their battery. So essentially what happens now in that, the way that system is done
mm-hmm.
is that they deliver the excess electricity during the daytime. They deliver it to the grid system and they get it back at night.
All right. See, Alan, one second. Look here. That is fascinating. And I want to say this. I hope that the audience gleaned from what you said, from what you said just now, in terms of what is a manageable scale, right?
Right.
So let me ask you two quick questions. From what you said just now, how viable or feasible is it that we set up a solar power generation system on a key that is very near to New Providence and run that power back to the grid from there? How viable is that?
It's absolutely viable. In fact, you could do it from Andres. You can do it from any island. You could do it. We are called shallow water, so we can do it anywhere over
and
water.
That's what the concept of the drop port is that we make fun of the DNA with.
The problem is the grid system. The infrastructure is the problem, not the delivery system. That's why you see they bought the new power generation, but you see you're still having blackouts. So it's no longer generation.
It's
transmission and distribution are failing.
Thank you so much, C. Allen. I'm going to have you and Deborah deal on so we could have the conversation with two different elements, right? Or perspectives. Two different elements. Thank you so much, C. Allen.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Bye.
I got a couple callers. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
If you need help,
I'm sorry, I lost you, caller.
Tell your operator.
Let's see, we got another caller here. Caller, you are on the clock.
Good morning, on the clock. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I won't put the Allen on blast. The Allen, you're too smart, you're too sharp, because I was just going to call in to tell Ms. Green all that flat water we got out there in South Beach, miles and miles of flat water,
mm-hmm.
the solar panels can be done there. And even if you can't do all, you could do half out there, and then we have a roofing system that in Nassau that you can put the rest of some of the solar panels on the roof. You know what I mean? So tell them people stop talking foolishness. But
so
I can call a spade a spade, and I can finish with this, because it's time. We in the Bahamas and Nassau call spades a spade. There is a company here in Freeport that is raking in the money, millions of dollars a month, shipping oil past the Bahamas, to go down to Barbados to come back to their shipping company to make money every month. That's the reason why they don't want one change the system at BPS. Thanks for taking my call, Ms. Green.
Thank you very much. Thank you, caller. I see I got another call. I get you. Quick. Turn your radio down for me, caller. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Dua.
Good morning. How are you?
Not bad. See, what C. Allen needs to realize is that this technology comes deprivations, comes social deprivations. You see, he earlier in the show he talked about education and all the all the advances in technology and the like, and you know, the way to teach online or whatever. The teacher not being a dictator, but a moderator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dictation, moderation. You know what's, you know what I'm saying? That's his argument. But when the tractors came in to do the farming, that brought that deprived people from work.
I got you.
You know, advancement comes greed. With that comes greed. You know,
right?
He talk about the CNC with this education. When whatever you bring into education, it ain't about the masses. It's about the inequality.
Absolutely.
You see? Because the private school always get the best of whatever the curriculum is. It ain't the curriculum.
Well, no, right. It's the resources that they are able to use to build up the curriculum and to ensure that they deliver on the curriculum.
Right. See, what we need to do is make an investment in education. That is to bring the educators in no matter where they are in the world. This is the population increase we need.
Thank you very much.
Bring in the education necessary. They need to pay the teachers. They don't need to pay the doctors. They need to rein in the doctors because it's in health care.
Hold on. No. Can't say that.
No. See, tell me now. What I'm saying is, the problem in our health care system, we got too much private health care.
I got you.
And that's saying you can't be, you got doctors working in both systems, private and these conflicts of interest.
I got to put you on pause there. Look here.
Please don't hang me. Put me on pause. Just give me the dialogue for a minute.
Put him on pause. Here's why I put you on pause. Because like C. Allen, the same way you want to put C. Allen on blast, I have to put you on blast. I have to get both of y'all into an institute, into a mechanism where I could extract the information from y'all. And more importantly, the questions. Because it's the questions. See, the questions that you have need to be heard and interrogated. The problem is I don't have the time to interrogate all of them right now. But I appreciate what it is you are saying, because I was about to talk about that a bit today. And so before I unmute you and give you your last 30 seconds, what I want to say is this, is that one of the things that I hear you highlighting, if not on the surface, is that we do not pay attention to the need for ethics on the cutting edge and ensuring that before we make a decision, we understand the implication or consequences of that decision on everybody around us, including their intersectional or their multiple identities. Also, that we understand the implication and consequences of that decision on future behaviors. Okay, unmute informal producer.
Right, exactly. See, you must be aware of the social implications of everything you do. All the growth in the economy, all the orange, this and the orange, that there's a social aspect, there's a social safety aspect involved in everything that we do, and we never addressed it.
Absolutely.
You know, and things like taxation, we need to get that right. Because I got siblings in the UK that before they go home, like 40% just income tax is taken out of the salary. That's besides the 20% VAT. Come on, man.
We
got to get this right, and people got to pay. And the politicians and those who control it now, they need to be paying the taxes. They need to advocate the system in this country.
Thank you.
And people like C.L., I want him on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad I gave you the chance to articulate that. That's a very important point that you made, and hopefully I articulated it clearly, right? And multiple points that we cannot, and we have to stop leaving out the social aspect of our decisions and policy making, and we have to ensure that we are all considering, not just at the governmental level, at the social level, that we're all considering the consequences and impact of our decision on others and on the future. Anyway, that's my music. We're going to go to a break. And when we get back, we're going to get into the show. And we're going to, I can't wait to talk about why the Family Island Affairs Ministry is so important. We'll be right back after this break.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes, like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock that's up for two. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions. Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I want to say thank you to my callers so far for the morning. You know, I had a little intro to start the show. I've been really thinking about what this election means, and what it means for such a low voter turnout, 63%, 68%. As I was thinking about yesterday, I realized that, you know, when people said that FNMs will not come out and vote for another party, they'll just stay home and not vote at all. And it made me think that's right, because the FNM political identity is very simple. It is, we are not PLPs, right? That's it. That's what it is. And the PLP political identity, simply put, is, we beat the UBP and ended apartheid in the Bahamas. Right? We beat the UBP and brought in majority rule. That's the identity, the political identity of those two parties. The problem is these two identities are no longer relevant to the vast majority of Bahamians, including PLPs and FNMs. And so the question is, how will these parties redefine themselves or prove that they have changed over the next 5 years? What will the FNM have to do to reform and reshape? And what will the PLP have to do to deliver on the promises they've made? How will they prove the political culture associated with the party before the 2017 election has been rooted out? For both the PLP and the FNM, the first 100 days will give us a sense of what to expect, particularly the construction of the cabinet and the naming and creation of new ministries. And so, for my audience members who said that I was giving the PLP a hard time on day one and day two, and I should give them a break, I want to share something with you all. On the night of the 2017 election, a picture surfaced of Peter Turnquest, who would subsequently be named Minister of Finance and Deputy Prime Minister. A picture of Peter Turnquest, he had in one hand, a bottle of Henny, I think, and a cigar. He had something else in another hand. And the picture showed him in a celebratory pose. It's a pose that young people like me remember. I don't know how much difference is between Mr. Turnquest and I, maybe less than 10 years. But it's a young gangster pose. And I looked at that picture, and in that moment, I could tell that the FNM would have difficulties delivering on the promises they made, particularly the promise to shift the culture of corruption, both in the party, in the party, in governance, and in the country in general. I want you all to know, just by looking at that picture, I could tell. And it's not that doing the things in the picture automatically associates you with corruption. It's that it should be obvious to anybody that that is not a good look for a leader, particularly somebody expecting to be appointed as DPM. on the eve of a new administration of governance, where we're calling on people to discipline themselves. And so I say this not to beat anybody down, but to challenge you and to encourage you to use your critical thinking. Because sometimes the symbols, the signs are as simple as that. And callers, I come into you in a second. I just got to read this one text. It's been sitting here for a minute. Text says, we didn't like the FNM leader ever since he started talking to the Bahamian people bad. If the party decided to keep Mr. Minnis, I will never vote FNM for the rest of my life. And other people are saying the same thing. Now, here's what's important, I think, as a note, because what the person says is very clear, is that as a party supporter and member, you have an obligation to tell that to the party leadership and to tell that to the party infrastructure. Make them understand it, because no one person can be bigger than the party. Let's get to the callers. Caller, you're on the clock.
A pleasure. Good morning, Screen. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Good morning, Sparky.
Sparky here. How you doing?
Good.
You know, first of all, that topic you just mentioned, if the FNM should choose to keep on the past prime minister as their leader, it's all in their hands, because they know just what will happen. They could see what will happen in this country. They will fail again. So leaving that aside.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Ms. Green, what you were talking about, you'll see how they know the power generation and everything.
Yeah.
If you take a look at a map of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and see where the capital sits from a distance, from a space age picture, something like that, the closest point of big land to New Providence would be 28 miles to the west, which would be Morgan's Bluff. But the problem between that, other than what Seattle and them talking about, is there's something called the Tongue of the Ocean.
Yeah.
One of the deepest parts of the Atlantic Ocean is the Tongue of the Ocean between New Providence and Andros. So transferring energy from Andros is not so easy to think.
Right.
To the northeast of New Providence, you see another part of the Atlantic Ocean between the New Providence and Abaco, and then the closest to the east would be Eleuthera and so forth, distance of land. The biggest problem, we got to stop talking these fairy tales of language.
But Sparky, you
got to see, Ms. Green, we got to diversify the populations from New Providence to the Family Islands.
Yeah.
Everybody, even our illegal brothers and sisters to the south, they will pass every other island just to get to New Providence and develop 39 shanty towns in New Providence.
Because
that's a community in itself.
This where the hospital bread is, Sparky?
It's where the airport is, the hospital is, the energy is, everything is in New Providence. But one of the smallest islands in the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is, Green, if we don't stop talking the fairy tales and get people to develop the other islands, we're going to be faced with the overpopulation, not the Bahamas, but the overpopulation of New Providence. See, that's the reality.
All right, Sparky.
And then when it comes to our social leaders, religious leaders, and political leaders, there's the element with the other gentleman I see how they talk about, is the greed.
Yeah.
See, when we get our few people to the head, we stop forgetting, we forget about the small man, because everybody wants their child to go to private school, and they tell you right to your face, but I don't want my child to go to public school because the public school ain't as good as private school. So that should be telling you as a leader that you got to fix the public school.
Thank you, Sparky.
The private school is already prepared and fixed.
Thank you.
So why you want your children to go to the best schools and my children to go to the lower schools and then try to compete with your children who have better education?
Absolutely. Thank you, Sparky. That's a very good point you make. I got to go. I got another caller on the line. And so seeing the renaming of the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources to include Family Island Affairs gives me hope that there have been some shifts within, some substantial shifts within the PLP party, and let's see if that can translate to governance. So you got another caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Again, if you need help, hang up.
Oh, I'm sorry, we miss you, caller. See, Sparky, that's why sometimes I be trying to rush you, because I got another caller there. But like I said, one of the things I'm excited about is to see what does the new element of the Ministry of Agriculture, the Family Island Affairs, what will that bring to the table? Are we looking at Family Island population or population redistribution? Are we looking at a focus on infrastructural upgrades and enhancements? Are we looking at everything? Are we going to have a focus on islands that have been hit by hurricanes in the past 10 to 15 years? There's so much to think about in there. I see we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Morning.
Hi, morning.
Yeah, right. But that's Sparky. I know he wants to sound intelligent and stuff like that, but what the Allen and them doing is just making mayor suggestions, critiquing what BPL put out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was at BTC in the early 80s. I was there when the submarine cable came up mm-hmm. from Florida and onto Goodman's Bay. So it is possible to run solar power through some of the tongue of the ocean mm-hmm. and all of that. Tell him, look before he leave. He's not trying to sound too intelligent. Thanks.
I hear you. And look here, I've been on one boat across the tongue of the ocean. In fact, the first time I went across the tongue of the ocean on a boat, I had to sit in the cabin and eat crackers, cream crackers all day. I was not ready. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, this is Doc in the West along with you. Aaron, for the eye grant.
Good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
I'm all in, thank God.
Good, good.
You know, there's the scripture when the Lord was speaking, he says that the people, basically what he's saying, right? The people were supposed to help the sheep. They're the people not helping the sheep. They're helping themselves. Mm-hmm. And he admonished them to assist the sheep. You see?
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's what's happening. The people not assisting the sheep. The people that's in authority, they're not assisting the people that needs help. The thing is, there are no infrastructure in the family islands. Some family islands even don't have running water. Some family islands don't have road. It doesn't have light. And when that's about to start, then people going to go back to the family island. But first, what those people got to do who want people to go to family island, what they got to remember, that this Bahamas is theirs, and the family island people came over here to look for work.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And a lot of us doesn't have work, and the government inhabiting a lot of what you would call illegals. First, the illegals got to get out of our country so we could straighten this country out, and that's what nobody are trying to do because they all want cheap labor and want people to bow down to them.
Thank you, Bremen. Well, we do know that the migrant situation has been exacerbated by a dereliction of duty on the state's part and what I would call unscrupulous capitalist practices on Bahamians' part. And I will add that migrants have contributed to this by having an unquenchable desire to survive and to elevate their children to more than mere plantation pittance and spittle. But I am biased. I am terribly biased in that matter. I got some texts here. Text says, in Europe, their solar farms are done at home on the rooftops of homes. In constituencies, they are in collaboration with the people, and it is being done. BPL just doesn't want to and is still making excuses. Let's just say maybe they're making fiscal excuses. In Europe, their solar farms, thank you. You go on to say, are done with individual constituencies which combine to form the total power grid. Tell BPL to get real. Good morning, Aaron. I agree with your analysis on the FNM loss, but are you sure the photo with the former DPM and Minister of Finance was in Photoshop? I almost certain it was in Photoshop. I'd bet my last chickchani on it. But listen, I'm going to take a break right now, and when I get back from the break, I'm going to get to all of your texts. So please, hold on, we will be right back. So stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service with Ben on the scene. Protecting since 1919. J.J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always. You're always covering me. J.S.J. S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
Presenting all my life, I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The ones that don't fall to, the count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell the law. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. I'm going to get back to these texts. That's the Photoshop text. Text says, Mr. Minnis prefers to bring down the whole party before he steps down. Now, mind you, what I read today is that they had a vote last night, the executive committee. They voted 17-12 to keep him, and one some of the subtext was that it's some people voted on the condition that he would not fight to maintain the position at the next convention. Another text says, if they keep Minnis and his proven disastrous leadership, I call for the Dissident 12 to start a new party, the New Free National Movement. Where do those 17 members believe Minnis will lead us to? FNM supporters need to know how many of the executives voting to keep Minnis received contracts under his watch. We need to know what criteria you're using to appoint him after the past 5 years of bungling. That's a very interesting text. The part I stopped at first is, I stay telling Glennis Hannah Martin that she should pack up her Georgie bundle and start the new PLP move. In fact, I'd be even more petty and call it the old PLP and let them figure it out from there. But what's even more interesting about this text is that it suggests that we, the people, need to demand that political parties, before they step into the halls of governance, can show the people that they can manage their own party affairs, that they can operate with democracy, with transparency, with accountability, and with honesty before they attempt to govern the whole country. Let me get back to some of these texts. Text says, clearly Sparky is both information and intelligence challenged. Singapore is running cables from Australia, their mainland having solar energy generated in Australia. Tell Sparky, in spite of his age, let Google be his friend and cure his ignorance. Now, I read it because you sent it. We're going to not be as harsh with each other like this. There may still be some issues that we need to talk about or determine before we could run any cable through the tongue of the ocean. For instance, we don't know what Ortec is doing in the tongue of the ocean. We don't know what type of underwater activities are happening there. Plus, I would like to think that the mermaids and the mermans, them, are big and bold in the tongue of the ocean, and we don't want to interfere with them. But I believe in mythical things sometimes. Another text said, did you know that the government helps all of the private schools financially? If they take the same money and invest it in public schools, the turnaround may just be outstanding. And we'd see who would be able to send their children to private schools. The government subsidy keeps the school fees down. Ah. So what the text is saying is that the government subsidizes private schools. Not just that, how would a private school function if the parents were paying part or all of the fees they pay to private schools to the government? So you got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
It's always a pleasure. You know, I want to comment on something that Sparky said. So Sparky was correct as far as the funding and the interest paid to the public schools, right? So I can speak for someone who has been to a private school and a government school, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the differences in equipments and logistics and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, et cetera. Sometimes the teachers come in late, weeks after schools are open. Sometimes our students had to drop a particular subject because the teacher was in there and they already took a year or two into the O-level courses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we must realize that a lot of people in this country went to government schools and they're very intelligent. And so I would like to dismiss that claim that, you know, the private the schools are better, because what happens is I went to private school, but the private school has less of a demographics. And
mm-hmm.
so a government school have to deal with a more wide scope of students. Hence, when you do the average, you will get a lower average and everything, because they're dealing with society on a whole. Everybody who can come, but we must pay a better interest to the private, to the public school system, and, mm-hmm. and empower the students, because it, in the long run, it pays society, because the best resources is the human brains. And so we are falling down in that particular aspect. So I want to dismiss that misnomer, because I've seen it has a repercussion of this, because most people don't even know they're being lied to. And so we're not juxtaposing the fifth industrial revolution. They want to data everything. So the reason for this is for control. And most people don't realize the advantages and disadvantages of technology.
Mm-hmm.
You must delve into these things. Most people have never heard about the God gene also. Have a good day.
Why, thank you. And listen, every point you made was interesting and worthy of discourse. But that point you made about not sleeping on public schools and not making this assumption that everybody that comes out of a public school is going to be stupid, but also understanding the real differences that give us these disparate or would be perceived to be disparate results, or would have just disparate on paper. I got another caller. Let me get to this caller before we close out the show. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Yes, in reference to the government school children, we are brilliant children in our government system.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why you have been the best of the best. If they're grabbed up by St. Andrews or Licity,
mm-hmm.
schools grab these children when they're done with grade 6,
mm-hmm.
and they take them into their system. You know, now they're not even living here, they're living abroad as doctors and scientists or whatever. So our government system, I hope Mrs. Martin and education,
mm-hmm.
they can go in there and really, really amp it up, because we need help, I think, with classroom sizes, with more resources in our educational system, because we have diamonds in the rough and we have exceptional children in our government school system.
Absolutely. And what we don't take into account is that a few years ago there was an article in the Jamaica Gleaner about why the Caribbean won't produce a Mark Zuckerberg. And my reasoning was because our children are too overwhelmed with the trials and tribulations of adult life and the stress and stress mm-hmm. of adult life, right? And so the child that leaves school not certain if the power is on, not certain if they'll get all of the tasks they have to complete, including cooking, cooking, cleaning, if they could get home safely before it get dark or before the predators come out, the men and women that like to prey on little children. They got
one more thing, Aaron.
Yes, ma'am.
I hope and encourage whoever, and the government, because it's on them, they must expand, they must deal with social services so that they can reach out. You know, agents in the school, in you know, in the system school has social service workers, but they are so worn out and overworked.
Oh,
they need help to go and identify children who need help in their home with the parents. So I think, I hope they expand that and train or hire more persons to work in the system, to work with education and with education to help our babies. But thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a wonderful call. And as somebody who went to QC, I want to say, listen, I know that not everybody that went to QC came from an upper class family. You know, not everybody who went to QC had indoor plumbing, even, right? So it's not about that. But what it is for those of us that have, those of us that live with privilege, we got to figure out how we could use that privilege to open up the opportunities for others. Like the lady said, like the caller said, there are diamonds in the rough in these public schools that will never get an opportunity or that will never shine because their environment is just overwhelmed with stresses or lack of resources. But you can see the brilliance of these young people. And trust me, I tell y'all, very rarely do I buck a young person on the road and I say, good day, how y'all doing? Be safe. And they don't say, good day, ma'am, and thank you. Let's stop discounting our young people. I'm going to read these last two texts and then we are out of here, people. The text says, hi, the best public school was Centerville Primary. Great teachers. Every class had its own boys and girls restrooms and each class had its own cool water fountains. Hi, the Family Islanders have plenty land, but they come to New Providence for work. Nassau people for looking for land in the Family Islands, but they are not welcome. In most parts in Jamaica, the public schools is where the elites go, and the private schools are labeled as the underachievers. Thank you. What wonderful text. I'm going to take all of these down. It's like two whole shows. What is it that we're putting in our schools to make them easier, more comfortable for learning? And I want tomorrow, I want you all to call in and tell us about your school. What was it that made learning easy for you? Anyway, I am all out of time. It's 11 o'clock. That means Unleash with Levon Miller is up next. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all of the texts. Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio.